Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste.
Let's go.
Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So, with the 29th pick in the 2022 Faded Away's NFL Mock Draft, James Anderson, the Kansas City Chiefs select who? James Anderson joining us right now on Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. James, let's talk running backs.
Yeah, excellent stuff. James, we're up against it. We appreciate the time, my man. Fantastic insight and information. We're looking forward to talking to you down the road. Enjoy the draft.
Absolutely, man. You guys too. Anytime.
All right, there he goes. James Anderson, host of The Zone Midday, Sports Radio 810 in KC.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Wednesday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock the next 4 hours. We've got you. A lot of stuff to get into today. Jam-packed show. Cynthia Freeland will be our guest at 11 o'clock. NFL Network analytics expert. We'll talk with her about the Chiefs moving forward, looking back at the Bengals, what she sees from that matchup, why it's an issue. Is it random? Is it, we like to say small sample size sometimes in sports. Take a drink. Is it one of those small sample sizes that if the Chiefs play three more times against the Bengals, they'll be 3-3 and it'll be the, there will not be an advantage in aggregate scoring one way or another. They'll win the next three by a total of 9 points and just plays that are made late in games that sometimes those last possession, last second games are 50-50 and the Chiefs are 0-3 against the Bengals and it's got to even out. That's maybe what the math says, or is there something more to that? Certainly around here, close to the situation, it's more difficult to say that it's just going to even out. It'll be fine. But face them again, and you'll find a way to win that three-point game. And, if this would have been different last year in the championship, if this would have been different last year in Cincinnati, if this would have been different a few days ago in Cincinnati, then they win the game. We can point to about 5 or 6 different plays total between the three games and go, they're 3-0 if those things happen. But they didn't, and they're not. So is that a trend? Is it sort of noise and the Raiders being so good last year in close games, one-score games, and this year being so bad until recently? Is it, just evening out? So we'll talk with her about that, some other things as well, not just specifically that, but the decision on 4th-and-7, what's the more advantageous play to go for it on 4th-and-7 from the 37-yard line with 3:20 to go, down 3, kick the field goal, get a stop. What does she think about that? And then also, we've talked about Chris Jones a lot over the last few years, couple of summers ago when they were going through the contract negotiation with Chris Jones and the franchise tag and then signing him to the long-term deal and then the final year of his contract coming up. So we expect there to be something this summer, whether that is a renegotiation, an extension, a trade, whatever it might be, there's going to be some movement there. All right, it's going to be an action summer for the contract of Chris Jones. It's not going to stay the way that it is. So that is the expectation. But one of the things that I'm, just always curious about when we talk about building a roster front to back, back to front, either way can be advantageous depending on if you actually have good players or not. But what we saw against the Bengals and what we've seen a number of times this year is it's Chris Jones and everybody else. It's Chris Jones and, faceless foes in a Bond movie that just, here's a, you shot at me 4 times and you missed and I, spun around and did a flip and a pirouette and shot you once and boom, perfect shot. Ha ha, idiot. So Jones being, James Bond in this and the other three being faceless villains. So what's the better way of building a defensive line? Is it one elite player and three below average or a couple below average, one average pass rusher, and that's your 4 across the front? Or is it better to have even just 4 average pass rushers? And you can coach to that or manipulate different things and how you do it. I'm always curious about that because I don't want to see what the Chiefs defense looks like without Chris Jones. because I can't imagine what it would look like, because they wouldn't be replacing Chris Jones and then putting four, you know, just average, maybe a little above average players across the board. No, they would have the same faceless villains. They would just exchange Bond for Mond or anything other than him. So we'll talk with Cynthia Freeland about that. Denver Broncos, what's, you know, is there concern with the Broncos this week for the Chiefs? Can a team, you know, I do worry about the Bengals beating the Chiefs twice. I know it's the Broncos, but that 3-7 mark, or 3-9 mark, I should say, 3-7, you know, 2 days ago, or 2 weeks ago, it was 3-7. 3-9 mark for the Broncos doesn't inspire a lot of fear for a team that's getting ready to play them and scoring 9 points against the Bengals and the Bengal or the, against the Ravens, and the Ravens not having Lamar Jackson and finally being able to score when they had to score and the Broncos couldn't get a stop. So you always worry about that. You know, don't let one game beat you twice. The Chiefs have already had their, well, there's one game, or there's a couple games a year where it's like, how did they lose that one in the Andy Reid era? Oh, guess what? Welcome to the NFL. There's a game like that every single year with every single team. It's like, oh, how'd they lose that game? Well, because the NFL happens. That happened with the Colts. Are we 100% sure moving forward that that game has taken place and there isn't another one in the next 5 weeks? I don't know that. I don't think that's the case. I believe this team will be 5-0 the rest of the way. But I would be concerned this weekend and at Las Vegas in Week 18. Although if that has meaning, I think they would win that game if that's for the number one seed.
There's a totally different game on here that scares me more than either of those two, maybe combined. I think the Broncos are done.
Texans.
And it's not the Texans.
Seattle.
It would be Seattle.
Really?
I just think there is some world that they put up 35 points and the Chiefs just turn the ball over a couple times.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve against an NFC team.
You know, looking at the schedule, what's the team that can score? You
that's
know,
the only the Raiders one on the rest of the way out.
Raiders can score.
That's true. That's true.
Because Devontae Adams and Derek Carr are really, you know, hitting their stride right now. I mean, Derek Carr threw for, what, 220 yards and 170 was to Devontae Adams. I mean, it's like, hey, he's only throwing there. Yeah, and you still can't guard him because he's Devontae Adams. So, and Josh Jacobs is having a career year in a, you know, a contract year. So I think the Raiders can score. And the Seahawks can score. So those would be the ones. The only reason I put Denver down there is because it's on the road and it's coming right off a loss against the Bengals.
Oh,
where you're going, what in the hell? Why can't we beat that team? And if you're the Chiefs, do you wake up on Monday still pissed off? Do you wake up Tuesday still thinking about Sunday and not thinking about this Sunday?
If here's why I'm not worried about this game from the Chiefs' perspective. Because if they do go to Denver and they lose to this Denver Broncos team, they are going to come back with the glassiest eyes I can imagine you've ever seen, and they will meet a lot more glassy eyes in Kansas City.
Well, that wouldn't be from just being in Colorado. The glassy eyes wouldn't
no,
be.
No, it would be.
Are they coming back with glassy eyes anyway?
It would be more of a stunned silence.
I see.
Less of a stoned silence. If they lose to the Bengals and follow it up with what would be, I just think, the most embarrassing loss of the NFL season, with how the Broncos season has gone and who the Chiefs believe themselves and have often proven themselves to be, it would feel cataclysmic. That would be the end of the Chiefs' winning streak over the Broncos. That would be the unable to stop the bleeding game. And I'll tell you what, if you want to get meta with it, like you said, how you can't let one game beat you twice. If the Bengals want to just start claiming that they're 4-0 against the Chiefs now because they beat you so hard that you went and lost to Denver the next week, I could see this game being weird. But if the Chiefs lose, or even if it takes a last-second field goal, but certainly if they lose, it is going to feel like a snowball of knives and razor blades and weeping and gnashing of teeth. I do not think they will lose that game, but boy, if they do.
The nerves the rest of the way, the last 5 weeks of the season, watching the other games needing help to be the one seed, it's going to be rough because it's going to be frustrating rooting against the Bills because they're a good team and they win a lot of games, and to hope that they end up being 13-4. Because I believe whoever is the two seed will face the Bengals in the second round. I think the Bengals are going to be the three seed. It's not going to be the Titans. The Bengals already have a one-game lead on the Titans, and they won head-to-head. And without Lamar Jackson, I don't think it's going to be the Ravens. And the Bengals play the Ravens at home in week 18, game 17. If that's for the division and a home game as opposed to being a wild card team, I'll take the Bengals in that matchup at home. I think Cincinnati finishes as the number three seed. So that means if you're the number two seed, you would be looking at whoever in the first round, pick your team, and then Cincy at home at Buffalo. Or if you're Buffalo, it's Cincy at home at Kansas City. And then you're probably playing Tennessee if you're the one seed. Tennessee at home versus Cincy at home. And then going to Buffalo versus playing Buffalo at home, or playing Cincinnati at home, because if Cincinnati can certainly go to Buffalo and win, or Cincinnati going to Buffalo, because, you know, Cincinnati can certainly come into Kansas City in the divisional round and win. So I believe the Bengals end up with a three seed. That's why the next 5 weeks are so crucial, because if you want to go through the playoffs and say you don't have to face those two teams in back-to-back weeks, the one seed, to me, is the only way you do that, unless there's a massive upset in the first round.
And I think right now the one thing you could say pretty confidently, if you're going to find something about the Chiefs that you would not want to believe in or a negative thing to believe, I think you would say, I'm not sure I see that team beating the Bills and Bengals in back-to-back weeks. And that's probably true for any one of those teams who does have to play both of those teams back-to-back, which is why we've gotten into the habit of this around here, so it's not weird anymore. But the night the schedule was released, the entire conversation, for me at least, was, what does the one seed look like? Which obviously that's that. I can't remember when exactly the schedule came out. The Chiefs roster is very different from where it has been the previous times they've hosted the AFC Championship game. But that first round bye, the only one of them, again, when they expanded the playoffs, that two seed lost its usual bye. The one bye week means you just get to fully opt out of a game. You can fully get healthy that week. You can begin preparing for your next opponents. But it also might be the way you avoid. We can even lump the Titans in on this. I don't think that the Titans are the football team that the Bills or the Bengals or, frankly, the Dolphins are. But I don't want the Chiefs to play the Titans in January, man. I've seen it enough. I'm good. I don't. That team gives me anxiety.
Well, I mean, there's also a world in which if you're the two seed, you would play Dolphins, Bengals, Bills.
Yeah.
In three games.
And you probably wouldn't, because you probably don't stay alive through that stretch. So someone has to.
Somebody has to, right. I mean, the Bengals had to go to Tennessee. They won the division, right? So they beat the Raiders at home. So Raiders at home, at Tennessee, and then at Kansas City. They didn't have to face Buffalo. Buffalo was going to have to go through Kansas City and then face the Bengals at home, when most people thought it was going to be going to Tennessee because the Bengals winning, and it's just a matter of, okay, it's been a nice story for Cincinnati, and they're probably a year ahead of schedule getting to the divisional round. Maybe it's a little bit like Cleveland, you know, in the 2020 playoffs, that, hey, you know, it's a nice story so far, and we'll see what happens moving forward with this team. But Ryan Tannehill was Ryan Tannehill in that game. And, you know, there was a massive, massive play by Mike Hilton, I think it was Hilton, who ran down, might have been Derrick Henry, inside the 10-yard line, which then 2 plays later was the Ryan Tannehill interception when he threw it down the line of scrimmage. The player that made the tackle, I believe, was the same player that intercepted Ryan Tannehill, and the player that made the tackle wasn't even in the screen when Derrick Henry broke free. He worked all the way across the field to be the guy, because when Derrick Henry then had to cut back, he was there to make the tackle. If he dogs it, Henry scores, and we're probably talking about the Chiefs and Bengals in the AFC champion, or Chiefs and Titans in the AFC championship game. And if the Titans have the Chiefs number, and why can't they beat, they beat them in the AFC championship game 2 years before, why didn't they, or we're talking about, ah, the Chiefs lost to the Bengals. You know, it sucks, but you know, we'll see them in the playoffs, and that's fine. Chiefs have been to 3 straight Super Bowls. They've won 2 of 3. They'll be fine. I mean, just a play here or there makes such a massive, massive difference, because I could have said, well, if the Bengals beat the Titans, they were going to get blown out by the Chiefs anyway. So, I mean, Bengals, Titans didn't matter. Either one of them was packing up from Tennessee to head to Kansas City and lose. But we know what happened, and that's the beauty and the fear and the anxiety of the NFL, is that a play here or there, Kelce doesn't fumble, I think the Chiefs win. But he did, and it happens.
We may have all gotten the AFC West prediction business wrong this offseason because Russell Wilson's been a disaster. The Raiders, as we've already mentioned, you're right. They've started to kind of pull together a little bit, at least offensively. You see what they could be. But the AFC, I think we still may have somehow undersold. Because we agree on this. Bills, Bengals, Titans, Chiefs, your division winners. Mm-hmm. Which means that your three wild card teams are the one that has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle catching passes from Tua Tagovailoa. Whoop, I did it that time. Tua Tagovailoa playing pretty well last week notwithstanding. And then Lamar Jackson's team and Justin Herbert's team. You've got four division winners and three wildcard teams with electric, at least, elements on offense. And really excellent, at least a couple of playmakers on the defensive side. This conference is crazy. So whoever is representing the AFC side on the Super Bowl is going to need to get a little lucky, going to need some super clutch plays from whoever their quarterback is, going to need a defense to stand up and make a stop a couple of times, just simply by the law of the opponents we know they'll be playing. Total murderer's row in the AFC, and with the bad taste of the Bengals game still mm-hmm. in your mouth, I don't know how you could have some sort of confidence that the Chiefs are mm-hmm. an overwhelming favorite. Frankly, whoever has the one seed and gets to skip that first week of the games, they are the overwhelming favorite.
You get to skip the first week of the games, and I believe you'll skip the two and the three, which is either the yep. Chiefs and the Bengals or the Bills or the Bengals, whatever it might be. You're skipping one of those teams. You get a bye, and you don't have to play both of those teams more than likely. And there is a scenario in which the Dolphins are the seven seed. So if you're the two, God. Now you are playing the Dolphins, Bengals, Chiefs/Bills. That's not a fun stretch to go through because right now the Dolphins are the sixth seed. They're one game ahead of the Jets. Are the Dolphins going to win out? Probably not. Patriots are a couple games back. Chargers are a couple games back. A lot of football left to be played. A lot of jockeying for position. But one thing I feel very confident about is that the top three in the AFC is going to be Bills/Chiefs. The other team, too. Bengals 3, Titans 4, fill in the other three spots with a lot of football to be played these last 5 weeks. 913-912-4810 is the text line, 913-912-4810. The text line, we'll hear from the Chiefs, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes today, and whoever else is at the podium. I want to take a timeout. We'll come back and I want to talk some baseball. I want to talk some Royals.
Are we allowed to do that?
It's a shocking turn of events, and I know this is just stunning, stunning, I tell you, that the first lottery, Royals already taking it squarely between the legs, kick right between the legs.
It's like JJ Piccolo's not even trying. Psh.
Man. I mean, tank harder next time. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. We'll talk with Cynthia Freeland at 11 o'clock. We'll hear from the Chiefs. Mick Schaefer, we'll hang out with him. Sad fans. Chiefs edition, which makes it even more sad, comes up today as well. More Zone rolling along next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
So I looked at
weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, Beards. We'll talk with Cynthia Freeland at 11 o'clock. Chiefs today, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, TBD. Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41 Sports Director. Sad fans on Reddit. Shot clock reviews, all that still to come. This text says, Chiefs should maybe not circle any games on their schedule next year. They said the Bills, Titans, and Bengals. They went 1-2 with a miracle win against the Titans against a backup QB when the Chiefs had extra motivation from Simmons. That's right.
It's a really good take.
Yep.
Really good take.
Yep. And another text says, this weekend would also end Patrick Mahomes' division road game win streak of starting his career 13-0 in division road games. That would do that as well. It would suck if that were to happen. I worry because of the hangover and the one game beat you twice. This was the third of the three games. They lost the one seed, and they lost to the Bengals, and maybe they're for the first time looking up and going, maybe we aren't better than the Bengals. Maybe we aren't as good as we thought. And I kind of hope that's the case. I hope they're sitting there going, maybe we aren't as good as we thought. Maybe we need to go and do whatever it takes to get back to being as good as we thought. Because the Bills beat you, and the Bengals beat you. And you damn near lost to the Titans. So you still look at yourself as the class of the AFC? Because you've lost 2 of 3 to the Bills. You've lost 3 of 3 to the Bengals. You've lost 2 of 3 to the Titans. And you aren't the reigning AFC champions. So that pedestal, you've been knocked down a couple of notches. If not just completely knocked off and everybody's scratching and clawing and the king of the mountain trying to get up there and land on the Iron Throne right now. Like, there's nobody sitting there right now where the Chiefs were sitting there kicking other teams as they were trying to get to the feet. Not happening anymore. 913-912-4810. Texas, I think way too much emphasis put on Kelsey's fumble. It was huge, but it happened once. More emphasis, in my opinion, is another missed field goal that would be having a probable tie score. Yeah, they're up 4 in driving if Kelsey doesn't fumble. Butker makes the field goal. They lose 30-27. I mean, it ties the game. I just don't see that as being as big of a play. The play is maybe if he's saying going for the field goal as opposed to going for it on fourth down. Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll play that game all day.
I also don't feel like we've overemphasized the Kelsey fumble because, frankly, I just don't think there's much to talk about. The defense made a good play. I mean, a great play. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think we're on the same page on Kelsey was fighting for yards for a little bit and then trying to get down. Mm-hmm. And then because he knows when a defender's there trying to yank the football out. He didn't get surprised by that. They just got it. Like,
it happens.
Okay, great. We've got now an example of Travis Kelsey having less grip strength than one other human being on the planet. There's probably a couple more, but not a long list.
It's being of two minds that both can be true. It happens, but it shouldn't.
Yep.
Both of those things can be true, and I think both of those things are true, and I think Travis Kelsey would be the first one to tell you, yeah, those things happen in the NFL, but it can't happen. In that situation, you know, happens in the first quarter, now you can overcome it. You know, you can do some things to get back in the game. Happens there in the fourth quarter, and then a touchdown happens, and now instead of up 4, maybe up 7 with a field goal or up 11 with a touchdown, you're now trailing? Yeah, can't happen there. 913-912-4810. So this text comes in. This is a tweet from Patrick Brennan. The draft lottery was last night in Major League Baseball. The Pirates finally won something. And they won Dylan Cruz from LSU. So Dylan, get ready to be a Pirate. And I hope you should probably look for real estate in Pittsburgh right now because it was the lottery to get, you know, one of the best college prospects we've seen in a long, long time. And I was all last year we were talking about and we were noting when the Royals had the worst record. And it's like you just got to have top three, one of the top three worst records. And you've got the best chance because the worst three records have the same exact percentage chance of winning the lottery. And you're in there and 1 in 3 chance essentially to get Dylan Cruz. That didn't happen. And they didn't even get the spot that they would have been picking if there was no lottery. They slide 3 spots back. They had the 5th worst record. So last year and every other year, they would be picking 5th. Instead, they are picking 8th. The annoying part, and this is the tweet from Patrick Brennan, says teams that lost the most expected war via draft position tonight. Number 1, Kansas City. Number 2, Cincinnati. Number 3, Oakland. Biggest risers. Number 1, Pittsburgh. Number 2, Minnesota. Number 3, Detroit. 2 of the 3 in your division. 2 of the 3 that finished ahead of you since, you know, you finished last. The Twins were 13 games better in the division than the Royals were. Royals finished 13 games behind the Twins and they're 3 spots behind them in the lottery. You know, we talked about it at the time when it came out. I felt like it was an overreaction, and it's not sour grapes now that the Chiefs or the Royals have fallen back 3 spots and the Twins have leapt them instead of the Twins moving up 5 spots instead of 13. They're, you know, picking 5th. This is where the Royals should be picking. So, yeah, it's annoying. It's not sour grapes, but I think it was an overreaction, and I think there's a difference in tanking in the NBA and the NFL than in Major League Baseball. In the NBA, if you tank, you might get LeBron. In the NFL, if you tank, get Joe Burrow, you know, number one pick. Major League Baseball, if you tank, you might get a stud that you find out if he is one in 3 or 4 years, as long as his development happens and health happens and he's good enough to make it through the minor leagues and then get to the big leagues and then face big league pitching and then actually prove that he's that good. That may happen if you tank. Also, he's one of 9 in the lineup and not the quarterback that's the most important position, or 1 out of 5 on the floor that can make a massive difference. Or even if he's a stud Cy Young winning pitcher, he's 1 out of every 5 days that he goes to the mound and can't do anything in the 4 other games until he's back there on the mound tanking. And this lottery was an overreaction to it, to tanking. And, you know, it's here to stay. But I didn't like it when it happened. I thought, you know, they were the owners were essentially saying to the players, oh, okay, yeah. No, we're not spending as much money anymore because, you know, we are tanking. We are all these teams are trying to just lose games and not spend money. That's why payroll is not going up. Yeah, that's what it is. We'll give you the lottery. So then we don't have to acknowledge that revenue continues to stream in and the payrolls go down. And the overall money spent on players continues to go down, and the middle class is less and less existent, and it's the $360 million for Aaron Judge and the 3 years, you know, $3 million for somebody else. And it's the, yeah, having Aaron Judge is awesome, but just Aaron Judge isn't going to do it because Mike Trout hasn't won a playoff game yet, and he's the best player in baseball. So it takes more than that. I thought it was an overreaction, and last night watching it and seeing the Royals name coming up, thanks a lot, Raul Ibanez, seeing the Royals name pop up at pick number 8 was really, really annoying. And, you know, I don't think there should be a system to where if you have the worst record in the game that you could then pick 7th. Because if you don't win, the lottery is only the first, in case people don't know, lottery is only the first 6 picks. They do the lottery, everybody that doesn't make the playoffs has a percentage chance of winning the lottery. They draw the first 6 picks. After that, everything else goes towards record. So if you have the worst record in baseball and you don't get one of the first 6 picks, the worst you can do is pick 7th. There shouldn't be anything that exists to where if you have the worst record in your sport, you could possibly pick 7th if you're just unlucky.
I think the best comparison for this is obviously the NBA because
yes,
they have
absolutely.
One that exists. The NBA is for the top 14,
mm-hmm.
the ones that don't
yep.
make the playoffs. It's different for basketball than it is baseball because kind of like you mentioned
yeah.
how in basketball you get name that's out there this year, 7'5" French kid from France,
that's
Victor
right.
Wembanyama.
Yep.
There are 5 guys on the court.
Tungvailoa.
Sure. There are 5 guys on the court at all time. One guy has a major impact.
Yeah.
You do that because you don't want a team to go 9-73
yeah.
and then be like, we were trying, guys, we swear.
Right.
And then that's how that happens. Baseball is harder like that because, like you said, Mike Trout hasn't made the playoffs yet. He's one exceptional guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works for – I don't think it'll work that great for baseball. I don't think football should do it. But I think it works for the NBA, but that's the rare exception.
What are the rules in place? And I mean, you study the NBA, and I, being a talk radio host, probably should know those things. But – the rules in the NBA for if you've got the number one pick, how far down can you be? 14th? Is it top 3 protected? Is
no,
it top 5?
I think it's like everybody's got your – I think it's like the top 4 teams have a 1-in-4 chance.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I have number one
I think you can
– percentages.
If you like – yeah, here, Josh.
So the top 3 teams have a 14% chance of the number
NBA
one pick.
Major League
NBA,
Baseball.
NBA.
See, I'm just wondering if there's a protection to where if you're number – you know, the worst record. Because in baseball, if you're the worst record, you could pick 7th. That's
so,
the worst
so
you could pick.
So Orlando in the – so the 3 teams with the best odds, the top 3 teams all have the exact same odds.
It's probably huge NBA fans that are listening right now that are just pulling their hair
yes,
out.
Yes, probably.
It's 14% chance for the number one pick for each of those 3 teams and a 52.1% chance for a top 4 pick for those 3 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then the top 4 odds are the only ones that I have on me here.
Okay.
So I do think there is a floor
any,
to it.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly, you can get jumped, but you can't like get swapped with somebody.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if there was a like rules in place that are some protection to where, you know,
5th pick.
If you're the worst, you can pick is 5th.
Under the revamped format, which began in the 2019 draft, the NBA draft lottery will ensure that the team with the worst record will receive no worse than the 5th pick. Under the pre-2019 system, the team with the worst record would pick no lower than 4th.
Oh, so it actually got worse.
They moved it down 1.
Yeah, but there is protection there
yes.
to the top 5. I don't know a world where it makes sense for a team that finishes 13 spots ahead in the division of another team and then picks three spots ahead of them in a world where you can't trade draft picks either. So I thought it was an overreaction to what was going on, and I thought it was smart by the owners to say to the players, we'll help stop the tanking because that's the only reason we're not spending money on payroll while we continue to, outside of 2020, bring in more money. Revenue has gone up and up and up and up and up, and the payrolls are not going up and up and up, whereas, hey, look at the NFL. The salary cap 10 years ago was $100 million less than what it is right now because every year it's going up like $10 million, and there's more money everywhere. And now look at the wide receiver market in the last 3 or 4 years. The high tide lifts all boats. Aaron Judge ain't doing anything else for another center fielder out there. The center fielder market ain't helping Michael A. Taylor now because Aaron Judge got 360.
Now here's going to be the fun thing that baseball fans get to experience for the first time. When the Yankees are bad 1 year and then they win the first overall pick, and they have, like, the seventh best odds to do it or whatever, you guys are going to get to hear the, it's rigged, they rigged the lottery thing that, that basketball fans get to hear
envelope.
Every 8 years.
The frozen envelope. How did Cleveland win the draft lottery with LeBron from Cleveland? And I mean, come on. Patrick Ewing and the frozen envelope.
Or the Pelicans winning it with Anthony Davis and Zion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
Can we just abolish the draft? I know I'm not going, because I think if, I'm with you on everything you've said so far. This is randomness for the sake of randomness. It's all kind of a smokescreen. What if we just, you ever do an auction draft in fantasy or a salary cap draft, I think?
I'm a fan of those.
You
yes.
are, right?
Yeah.
If we figured out a way for teams to, like, you can do this with fictional money. You can say, or maybe this is their real contract. I don't know how we make this work. But maybe it's just for the first round. Maybe it's for the top 30 players or 32 in the NFL and say, hey, you guys get this much allocated money and you decide how you want to make this happen to where you can still allow for the option of parity. But if you're a team like the Panthers coming into this year's draft, you might overspend for your choice of quarterback because you think, hey, that's the only thing we really need right now. If you're the Chiefs in 2020, you could say, bleep this first round. We're just going to sit here and here's a nickel for a running back. And then all of a sudden that value is not so bad anymore. Like it would really create some fascinating team building options. And the draft being built on be the worst, get the best player is kind of backwards from the rest of sports. Sports doesn't reward ineptitude anywhere other than in the draft like that.
So I want to play a couple clips in the winter meetings because...
Seems like you're on board. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Totally on board. I mean, there's the draft pool in Major League Baseball and all of that stuff.
Yeah, baseball is the closest to making that happen. They actually have a system in place.
And here's a nickel for this guy in the 15th pick overall, and we're going to pay even more for the 38th pick overall.
Not to mention all the international spending budget. Again, it gets convoluted.
Yeah.
But there's at least a logic to
it. So you want
it
more to be international signing to where you get, here's your budget for international signing. You've got $8 million and you can spend all $8 million on this player in Venezuela.
I would be very curious to see what a slightly more extreme version of that would be because I do think we've accepted the draft because it's fun. It's been that way for a long time. But it's definitely not the best way of determining what teams, quote unquote, deserve the best players. Because then the Pirates, just wait long enough and eventually you hopefully get a star.
So I want to play two quick clips from J.J. Piccolo and Matt Quatrero yesterday at the winter meetings. Here's J.J. Piccolo on the improvement, where it has to be for this Royals team and how they get better in the pitching side of it.
They moved through the minor leagues really well. They threw strikes. They competed well. We're really happy with what we were doing on the minor league side. In major league side, you know, we're trying to pinpoint exactly what it is, but it really comes down to just throwing strikes. As simple as that sounds, getting ahead in the count, throwing strike one. They have put away pitches. They have great secondary stuff. But if you don't get ahead in the count, all the game planning you want to do, it just kind of falls to the wayside. So we got to get back to the basics.
First pitch strike percentage and first pitch strike has been something they have talked about for roughly a decade and a half now. They talked about it all this year. They finished 30th. They talked about it last year. They finished 30th. They talked about it in 2020. They finished 27th. Now, the last 3 years, the Rays have finished second, third, and third in first pitch strike percentage. The Guardians, 7, 11, 4, 4, 2, 2. Those are the previous 6 years for the Guardians. So maybe going the route of Guardians and Rays, J.J. Piccolo's going, well, now we're going to actually have people in place that are going to emphasize it without us just saying, hey, we should emphasize this throwing first pitch strikes. How did you guys do it in Cleveland and Tampa to get your guys to actually do this? Now, do you want to really tweak some Royals fans and put a knife in the back and sort of twist it? You want to do that right now?
Your eye levels were lower than they could have been because you would have seen the cringing that my whole body did for that whole
first
clip.
Pitch, right?
Yeah, let's hear the next one. I bet this is going to make me feel even better.
Matt Quatrero was asked specifically, hey, Ryan O'Hearn, you know, what's
Jason, his... Jason, I don't know that I can do this right now, man.
What's his role going to be in 2023?
I can speak to the roster more as a whole, and I think what we're going to try to do is use the entire roster. I think we're going to try to put guys in positions to where it's an advantageous matchup for them, use off days judiciously to help guys get rest and stay fresh and plug guys in and kind of use them on more of a fluid rotation. So I would anticipate him getting more at-bats than he probably had last year and being a big part of the team, whether it be off the bench or in advantageous matchups, you know, on any given night.
Not only did they re-sign him, the manager says, I anticipate him getting more at-bats this year.
He's playing, baby!
Oh, I heard that, and that's one of those, all you can do is kind of laugh at it, because, like, what are you going to do?
You're getting that vitamin O!
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back and continue rolling right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Talked a lot of Royals today.
Sorry.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, Beards, heading up until 2 o'clock. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, roughly an hour from now, a little less than an hour from now, we'll hear from Andy Reid at the podium. He'll be looking forward to the challenge of facing the Denver Broncos coming up on Sunday in Denver at 3:05. And then Cynthia Freeland coming up at 11 o'clock. A couple of things that we will talk with Cynthia Freeland about coming up then. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810 text line to be a part of the show. Text says MLB is so jacked up already until they establish a salary cap and I'll never get financially or emotionally invested again. Huge Royals fan, becoming less involved every year. Draft news makes me want to completely tune out now. Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's frustrating. It is because, you know, you could have had the fifth pick. Now you've got the eighth.
But also, the fifth pick would not move the needle today at all, right? I mean, it's just the sort of baseball apathy there where it becomes a hyper-local sport. You can care about it locally. Brayden Gall made a point at the beginning of college football season that stuck with me all year long. Don't watch this whole season waiting for the playoff picture. Enjoy what your team can do. Baseball is sort of whipping towards that, like in a perhaps worrisome fashion, minus all of the enthusiasm and stakes of college football.
Well, tanking is such a conversational piece now because of the process and other things that have taken place that I actually believe in tanking.
Yeah, it would be the better way.
And I understand where, from a fan standpoint, where you've got an owner or a GM that's saying, hey, you know, we want to make money. Come out to the stadium. And behind the scenes are like, yeah, we're trying to lose. We need to lose these games because we want this, this, and this. Yeah, it's trying to, serve two completely different philosophies. Mm-hmm. We want to make money, but we also want to tank, but we want the fans to come out there. So it's kind of lying to your fan base of, no, we're trying. I believe Dayton Moore really did want to try. Yeah. I believe Dayton Moore really went out and said, no, we want to win as many games as possible this year. It's kind of a black mark on the overall resume because he was wanting to do that and still lost 100 games as opposed to just saying, no, we're going to tank and get better draft picks, whatever. But, you know, if you're in the NFL and you're tanking to get a stud quarterback, it actually works because now you're set up for the next 10, 15 years. Another text earlier says, yeah, you can get the number one pick and you can get those guys. You could also get Baker Mayfield. That's right. That's the luck of the draw, that when the Chiefs had the number one pick in 2013, there wasn't a can't-miss stud quarterback there in 2013. It was, do you want Eric Fisher? Or do you want, like, whoever else was in that draft?
There was one can't-miss, gotta-have-him, future superstar quarterback.
Oh, that's right.
It just took Geno Smith 10 years
exactly right,
to become that guy.
Yeah. Chiefs will face off against Geno Smith in a... couple games. That's right. Like, it ends up being the luck of the draw when you lose and things like that. Other techs have come in and said, well, stop tanking by rewarding the better teams with better draft picks. Well, that's assuming the teams that are struggling are tanking.
Right.
Because if you say, well, another one that said reward the top team to miss the playoffs, the number one pick. Well, if the top team to miss the playoffs had a quarterback get injured along the way, mm-hmm. and that's the only reason they missed the playoffs, were they tanking?
Teams are always going to try to game the system.
Yeah, I mean, were they tanking, or was it just unfortunate? And now you've allowed that team to get even better when the NFL wants to have parity to bring everybody together so everybody has a chance. That's why it's the number one sport in America.